Podcast is intended for mature audiences. The views and opinions expressed are those of the panelists and do not reflect in any way those of the podcast partners, sponsors, or affiliates.
Hi, enjoy. This is Michael Buffer, and you're listening to the voice of the people. Let's get ready for Boxing Voice.
BoxingVoice.com.
You need that fear.
All I'm trying to do is make a stand for something that I truly believe is right. I truly believe is right.
Yes, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another flagship edition of the Boxing Voice hashtag TBV podcast. We are back. It's Sunday, and today is Crow Day. Not a lot of fights to discuss, but definitely some news and headlines and some rumors, I might add. But let's head on over to the Golden State, introduce my co-host, none other than the Hipster Hunter.
Dollar DiBiase Productions.
This is a beautiful performance against a very tough guy in Michael Johnson. How do you feel about it?
BoxingWiz.com.
Yes, the hipsters here. Haters beware.
Like you said, it was a slow week.
There weren't that many overall events going on. Not a lot of news either. It's just one of those slow weeks. But obviously, we're coming here like every Sunday, every Thursday, giving you at least five topics. And obviously, because of the nature, we're going to sort of branch out and maybe do a little more hipster topics. Your favorite, Ness, you know? I know you love the lighter weight classes and, you know, more, you know, obscure guys. That's, you know, your favorite.
I'm going out on the record. None of that was sanctioned. This is Matt trying to freestyle. We don't know anything on the itinerary about any lower weight classes.
Well,
what we do know is the
130 is lower weight. 130 is lower weight.
All right. What we do know is the heavyweight division, though. And Bermain Stiverne, while he might not be the most popular guy amongst boxing fans right now, he is quite the relevant person.
Yes.
Whatever he does is kind of a headline at this point, especially when it involves a failed or missed alleged VADA testing date, which obviously for Team Wilder and others sparks some concern, being as though he's tested positive in the past. So this opens up the door for that heavyweight division in that fight between Deontay Wilder and Luis Ortiz. Looks like the team Wilder is hoping that by him missing, the WBC will, I guess, I don't know.
The mandatory status that is on Bermain Stiverne.
Yeah, remove his status. Maybe he loses that because he didn't, partake in their rules. I'm not sure.
I'll put it this way. It'd be very difficult for the WBC to look consistent without taking away his mandatory status. Because the reason they gave him that mandatory status without fighting is due to a failed drug test. And if you know anything about these third-party drug testing agencies, they view a missed drug test the same as a failed drug test, usually speaking.
Exactly.
Depending though on the contract they have with the WBC, they may allow maybe like you have like one warning if you miss one, like that's possible. I think the UFC has something similar to that where you can have one missed drug test and that doesn't really count as a positive test, but the next one does, I believe. I may have to fact check that, but that could be possible with this situation. But again, I feel like it would be very inconsistent of the WBC to continue to have Bermain Stiverne as the mandatory challenger to the title with him missing a test, if so fact that missing a test is viewed as the same as a positive drug test.
Yeah, we definitely need to know more details on that situation and how the WBC
rules very quickly.
Because it makes sense that if you miss it, the punishment be as stringent. And because, for instance, like something like cocaine could be something that is out of the system.
Learn about the.
Sorry, what? That was WBC website.
Oh, well, yeah, you know, that's something that gets out of the system in a matter of like a day, I believe. So, you know, if you miss a test, I don't think they could just say, all right, come on, we'll test you at such and such time, because it's a window. It's a way to, you know, hide something, or, you know, definitely it should be viewed. He needs to have a very legitimate reason as to why he didn't show up for that screening, especially if he's in that mandatory status and awaiting his fight.
Literally, I agree. I've never been really one to be really hard on PED testing. And like, I've never been that sort of guy to be just to be honest and put my own worldview and bias out there, just to be, you know, as transparent as possible with my views. But so it doesn't really bother me as much as maybe some other people that he missed this drug test. My only opinion is really the consistency factor. Cause I value consistency a lot, especially with these organizations, because so often sanctioning bodies are inconsistent. And I think with drug testing, the policies surrounding drug testing, you have to be as consistent as possible, if not 100% consistent. Because otherwise, you have an unfair and unjust program, right?
Definitely.
So, I mean, look up the ruling really fast and see if I can find anything on if you miss a drug test, what that means. But most likely, it does mean a positive test. But usually, that's what it means.
Well, it's definitely interesting to see what's going to happen with this. Is it going to fall kind of the way that Team Wilder is hoping? And when I say Team Wilder, we're talking about Jay Diaz, his manager and trainer, has a couple of quotes out in the media, you know, about this particular situation and how they feel that maybe the WBC is going to remove Stiverne from that mandatory challenger status due to the failing of the test. But obviously nothing is official yet. And for all we know, Bermain could have
failed. Technically, it's just a missed drug test, just to be absolutely 100% correct. And our listeners not get confused.
Yes.
He did not test positive for anything. He purely missed a drug test. There was a...
And it was VADA, just one of those random...
Yes, there was a random drug test. A VADA agent either came to his gym, his house, and he was not there. That's usually what happens.
Yeah, man. Interesting, to say the least, to see what takes place. You know, you leave it up to Bermain Stiverne and all his social media. He's being very forward in the fact that he's going to get the fight. He's, you know, he's using a hashtag like don't believe the hype, you know, a lot of things indicating that he feels he's going to get that fight next. But now with this test, I don't know. We shall see. Is this going to make a big difference? But speaking of difference, man, Adrian Broner and Mikey Garcia back on one of the five topics, Matt. Mikey Garcia with some interesting quotes. We've heard it before. You know, he's flirted before with saying that he would fight at 47. I believe it was Thurman that he called out at one point. But now here he's saying that if he beats Broner, he's going to stay at 140 and possibly even go to 147. Is this a case of counting those chickens before they hatch, or is just confidence based on skill?
I think it's confidence based on skill. Again, you have to realize that, not realize it, I think that we should all understand that, like, Mikey is the guy that's all about the discipline of the sport, all about the dedication of the sport. Adrian Broner's sort of been the antithesis of that. Not saying that Adrian Broner's not dedicated for this camp, because all signs point that Adrian Broner is absolutely dedicated in this camp, and he's in phenomenal shape. He weighed 144 days ago, and it's still a whole week till the, well, it's more like 6 days till the fight now, but he's going to make the weight comfortably. He's going to make the weight in shape, and probably he made the weight in a healthy manner because he dropped so much weight early instead of having to cut so much weight late. I think we're going to see a Broner that's very skilled. So I don't necessarily want to say that we can really discuss what can Mikey Garcia do at 140 or 147. Cause again, Adrian Broner is the problem. He's going to give Mike Garcia probably the most problems in his entire career. But again, Mike Garcia thinks of himself as the most dedicated fighter in this fight. He thinks of himself as probably the better boxer in this fight as well. More technically sound. And I can see why he thinks that. So Mike Garcia looking at himself and saying, I beat all these guys at these lower weight classes. Now I'm going to face Adrian Broner. If I beat Adrian Broner, I can definitely fight at 140 and contend with anyone. And at 147, I'm not saying he can contend, but if you beat Broner, you can definitely make an argument that Mike Garcia can give a lot of these guys good fights at 147. Not saying he's going to win, but he's going to give them good fights. I don't think he does it, though. I think Mikey's still going back to 135. I don't think Mikey's that big. I mean, you've been at the presser with him and Broner. So have I. I mean, what's your perception of the size of Mikey compared to the size of Broner?
Well, I believe Mikey seems to be the taller fighter, but, you know, Broner has filled out sooner than Mikey, I would say. Obviously, he's had a jump start where Mikey had kind of been shelved for those almost 2 years or whatever. I think it's more about speed and agility and even maybe power. I wonder if we see some early knockdowns in this one. It's a very interesting fight, man. From the minute it was announced, even rumored, I haven't been able to be 100% confident on a pick. I still don't know who I'm going in, you know, picking on this one. That's how evenly matched this one is. This is a very, very good fight.
I agree. I'm so conflicted. Like, I still haven't made a pick in my head.
It's like you said, just the fact that Broner had made 144 on Instagram about 8 days ago, or 8 days out from the fight, something like that, he posted. It shows that he's ready. He's ready. So, you know, what we normally criticize him for, we may not be able to do in this fight, you know?
I think we're going to already, like, safely say we can't. Like, he's proved it.
Well, I mean, he's got to make the weight. I know that he's near the weight and everything, but he's actually got to make it before we start.
I mean, there's fighters that cut 10 pounds in fight week.
I hear you. I know Porter is a guy that does it like that, you know, but you got to make that weight. I mean, look, with the Sean Porter and Adrian Broner fight, there was a lot of issues with that weight. It was supposed to be 144, and then eventually it was 147. So we got to see. We really do. What's intriguing is the matchup. Broner's back is to the wall in the eyes of the public, in the eyes of the media. Maybe not the eyes of the casual fan, and that's probably what's going to motivate him, is the cheering fans. This one is in the Barclays Center. You know, that's more of a Broner home than a Mikey home, right?
Yeah, but I wouldn't say it's really a hometown for either. I say this is more of a neutral location. It's more of a location that Broner can thrive in due to the amount of media there. And I think Broner being way more media friendly than Mike Garcia. But I would say it's still a neutral location. If this was in Ohio, I would say it's in Broner's hometown. If it was in LA, or I would say even Vegas, I would say Mikey got hometown advantage. New York is subtly, slightly Broner, but I think it's close to neutral.
Yeah, you know, I would accept all that. I might feel a little more pro Broner in Brooklyn than you, But I would definitely say it's not a pro Mikey crowd. Not to say that he can't steal the crowd, and not to say that he hasn't fought in New York City. I think he's been
his last fight was in the Barclays Center.
And he's been also, I believe, in Madison Square Garden maybe twice. Yeah. So, you know, Mikey's been around. Speaking of,
the Tri-State area doesn't really have a vast Mexican market or demographic.
Exactly why I feel
is you get more Puerto Ricans, you get more Dominicans, you get more of that sort of Spanish or Hispanic style or Latin style or demographic than you do Mexicans.
Totally agree. Speaking about being around, right? Chris Eubank is definitely one of those guys. He's going round and around. He's visiting different fighters
with and those shoes.
Tuning them up. And now he's in the World Boxing Super Series. And it just wouldn't be Team Eubank if his father didn't have some choice quotes. So this time around, his father has some, shit talking to do, directing it at James DeGale, and the fact that James DeGale did not join the super middleweight division World Boxing Super Series. Matt, any merit in what Eubank Sr. is saying? Had DeGale entered this tournament, was he healthy? Could he have gone in?
That's the thing. I know James DeGale was dealing with, I believe, a hand injury, an eye injury as well, I want to say. I could be a little bit wrong on that, but I think it was...
Tooth got knocked out in the last fight, too.
Yeah, but that's more cosmetic than structural damage. I think that James DeGale is always going to be sort of played into like the Lucien Boutte role as a result. Not that that's a right thing to say or that's fair to say for James DeGale.
For the people that don't know, what do you mean Lucien Boutte role?
Well, for more of like the new fans or casual fans, when there's the Super 6 tournament where like Andre Ward was in, Carl Froch, a lot of the champions were in that tournament except for one. At that time, it was Lucien Boutte. So that's sort of, you know, I think you could probably say more of like what the sort of reputation of Boutte was around that time. Like you had the show at that point, right? Wasn't the boxing voice around?
Yeah, definitely felt that Boutte was on the outside.
Yeah.
You know, getting whatever was left while everyone battled it out in the tournament. That's exactly how I felt.
And right now the thing with this division right now, you can't really say that, especially with who's in this tournament. Because there's a lot of people that are unknown in this tournament getting shine, there's enough notable people outside of it. There's another champion outside of it. There's going to be two other champions outside of it. There's three champions out of four in that division that are not going to be in this tournament. So it's a little bit different, though. Like, James DeGale has options. He does. And let's say
what are those options, though?
Gilberto Ramirez, the winner.
How realistic is that? Wait a minute.
I'm just throwing these out. There are options. They're better options than Lucien Boutte had. Am I wrong?
I don't know. I mean, in boxing,
not in terms of marketability, in terms of
But in boxing, option means it can happen. Like, I mean, you're using the term loosely a little bit. Is he an option for a fight because they're in the same weight division? Yeah, but is it an option? No.
The winner of Anthony Durrell, David Benavidez is highly possible. James DeGale has a relationship with Al Haymon. Yes. That's an in-house fight.
Yes.
And that would be for a unification. That would be for the title that he tried to fight for against Badu Jack, and that was a draw. So that's definitely an option. Other than that, a lot of guys are in this tournament, but still there's two other champions that aren't in this tournament outside of James DeGale, who is a champion. The only belt is George Groves. And I don't count the IBO like some people. So I don't count Chris Eubanks' title. Now, Does James Gill just sitting on the sideline while there's big things happening in the division hurt him? Absolutely.
This tournament.
Is Chris Eubank Sr. doing the smart thing by playing up that future rivalry or that future fight? Absolutely. If I'm Chris
Eubank, he's playing it up though. I think that he's being 100% honest. I think that you know, that's a long time
ago. Honest and still play it up. Like, you can still think in your gut that, oh, James Aguil's a coward for not being in this shit. But still want to hype up a future fight with your son and him. Like, that could still be in the back of your mind. That could still be a part of the process of you making that decision to do that. Let's be honest. And Chris Eubank Sr. being the promoter that he is, really, you know he thought about that. You know he's thinking, well, we got one UK champion in this tournament in George Groves. Let's get that belt, and then let's go after the next UK champion in the division. Because those are big fights in the UK.
I mean, yeah, anytime you put two London-based or UK-based fighters with names, I mean, obviously, you know, the Eubanks have that legendary name in the United Kingdom.
And let's say, hypothetically, Chris Eubank Jr. wins this WBA title through this tournament. Then he becomes a legitimate champion.
He becomes a hot, you know. Then the Gale's got to ask him for the fight. Everything changes, because even though these names won't be the biggest, it's more like the culmination of things. Everything that he's done in this tournament, you know, who was involved and what it meant and represents.
I mean, in terms of metrics that we have, I mean, Chris Eubank is probably the biggest star in the division right now.
At 168, I mean, I guess it could be argued, especially in the UK, with Groves, right? Groves is pretty popular, but I feel that Eubank moves the needle more, in my opinion.
He's on ITV as well. That's more of a, I believe that's more of a terrestrial channel, so that's more of like a Fox or a CBS or NBC. I believe that's what ITV is. Maybe the UK caller can.
ITV was covering the Mayweather-McGregor in London.
Yes, they were, which was interesting. I thought it was going to be Sky Sports. It was not. It was ITV.
But, yeah, that was interesting.
But then again, there's another piece of news, but that's sort of connected to that we can get into later, because Richard Schaefer and David Hayes signed a deal with another UK channel.
Yeah, what channel is that?
Dave. I think that's sort of like a big channel over there. I've heard of fights being on Dave. Wasn't one of the Chris Eubank fights on Dave? Like him versus Quinlan or something like that?
No clue. None at all. You know what's some good news, though? That Lomachenko is finally saying that he's fighting Rigondeaux next.
He's actually his name, yes.
That's pretty interesting. I wonder how long that quote sticks around in the media. Like, how many times?
I wonder how long it matters.
I mean, is it just hype right before the Madiaga fight? Because, you know, his fight is coming up, right? Doesn't he fight like August 5th? And no one's talking about that.
Because it's a worse fight than the Jason Sosa fight.
I mean,
right? I mean, in all reality, that's a step backwards, I would say, from the Jason Sosa fight.
And it's another guy coming up in weight. So it's like, all right, you're getting yourself ready for Rigondeaux or something? Is he in Rigondeaux training?
I mean, I know they were in discussions with Salido. And, you know, God knows what's happening with Salido, because he was in discussions with Gervonta Davis, too. So I think Lomachenko just waited too long. And he ran out of options. That was either Rigondeaux or Mariaga, and he wasn't going to fight Rigondeaux on that short notice, I feel like.
I just don't want this to be bullshit. I don't want the Salido fight to get snuck in.
I still think it is.
I don't know. I mean, if you check Rigondeaux's social media, he's training hard, and everything that he's posting is Loma Rigo 2017, man. It's only a few months left. And if Lomo's saying he's fighting Rigo this year, they're probably targeting like that December 5th date. You know what I mean? And since Rigo's the opponent, they might as well come to the MGM Harbor. It's only 2,500. You know what I mean? Don't put it in a big ass arena when you know it ain't going to do the numbers, because they're going to blame it on Regal if it doesn't sell tickets.
If that fight happens within this year, it would truly be one of the best years of boxing ever. Like, the fact that that could happen, that we don't have that fight marinating for another 2 years.
Well, neither man is a spring chicken. Neither guy can really wait around, right? I mean,
Lomo could more than Regal.
Obviously, Lomo could more than Regal because he has the big box promoter that could get him the Mariaga-type fights.
True. On ESPN.
On networks. But if you're Regal, you know, you're 33, 34, 32, whatever you are, you're ready to rock and roll right now, you know? And Rigo, I mean, come on, let's be honest. When's the last time he's got a big payday?
It's got to be a bit. I mean,
$150,000 paydays have been long gone since Nonito Donair days. I mean, I'm sure Rock Nation ain't giving him that to beat up the likes of Chucky.
Yeah, and, you know, God knows if the win going to a no contest affected his pay. I know some fighters that does sometimes.
Nah, man. I mean, no contest, I can't see it affecting, like, loss, maybe draw. Not even like those words.
Well, draw and a no contest are technically almost the same thing.
Exactly. So those words seem like no repercussions to come from. It's like it's a draw, so you remain the same. It's a no contest, so you know nothing happens. But that would be good, and you would be correct in saying that 2017. I mean, I already feel 2017 is one of the best years that. I've been covering boxing. This has been a huge year.
We're getting a lot of fights of the best fighting the best.
Yes.
Fights that we thought were going to take a while to marinate, as the dirty word in boxing is, that just happened. That just happened this year. Like, fights that are being rumored, too, like Charlo Lubin. Like, I had no expectation that fight would happen this year, even next year.
I mean, it's not happening yet, but, I mean, for that rumor to be... So close to the date. I mean, it sounds like a beautiful thing, a nervous thing, you know, a nervous thing for sure, but a beautiful one. You know, we got some other headlines too. We have that Abel Sanchez is open to train Sergey Kovalev. We know that Kovalev and
is it more like didn't they train together before?
I mean, I sent you a link, right? What was it?
Yeah, you sent me the article. I'm just asking. I didn't read the article.
But
did they train together?
Abel Sanchez is open to training Kovalev. The door's open. And you know, he's been there before. Does he come back, though?
I can see it. I think the rumors of him and John David Jackson not totally getting along seem to have some sort of merit to them. I'm not saying they're 100% true for the reasons that we've been told, but it just seems odd, you know. When there's smoke, there's fire. So could he leave for a trainer that he used to have, who's obviously a world class trainer? Absolutely. Abel Sanchez trains the likes of Gennady Golovkin, and plus he has a huge stable of prospects as well. I think. It would make a lot of sense for his style as well, because I don't think Sergey Kovalev necessarily needs to be the boxer at all times. I think he was trying to box too much, especially against guys like Andre Ward, when in actuality, he's the knockout artist. Go for the knockout. Focus on devising game plans that's going to make sure your right hand lands on your opponent's chin more often than not. And I don't think that John David Jackson was necessarily doing that. It didn't seem like that. And again, I, you know, the little bit that we saw of training from Kovalev, the little bit we saw from media workouts and just being in the gym, it looked like it wasn't the most intense training, to me at least. And I know through Gennady Golovkin and Abel Sanchez, that is some of the most intense training that I've seen. In the sport. So I think that's probably what Kovalev needs. He needs harder training, more disciplined training. Obviously, the altitude does wonders. I think it's a good move. I think there's maybe other people he could train with as well, that aren't as maybe notorious in a way. And I don't think Abel Sanchez is necessarily notorious, but there's a lot of fans, boxing fans, that don't like him. And I don't necessarily agree with that, but that's just the case right now. So I'm okay with Abel Sanchez pick as a coach if that happens, if these rumors of the rift between John David Jackson and Kovalev are true. It would be kind of sad if that was to be true, because at one point they did seem very close. But unfortunately, these things happen in boxing. You know, these trainers and fighters don't always get along. So, yeah, I'm totally accepting of Abel Sanchez training Kovalev again. I think it makes, if not perfect sense, close to perfect sense.
I don't know.
I mean, when I'm at LA fights and I see
the relationship could be damaged. Remember, they trained once before.
True.
And then all of a sudden rumors leaked when it was time to fluff up Golovkin's persona. And people started saying that Kovalev got dropped in sparring by Golovkin.
I mean, I've seen at LA fights, Kovalev and Triple G sit next to each other and chit chat and talk. Same with Abel Sanchez. They've always seemed to be friendly from the interactions I have seen personally between them. Again, those are public interactions, so I don't know if it's necessarily forced or disingenuous, but from the outside looking in, it doesn't seem like there's an animosity there. And again, Abel Sanchez is an LA-based trainer.
But I never said that the animosity is with Golovkin.
I never said that either.
I feel like maybe Kovalev could feel some type of way that Abel, you know, allowed certain secrets to be.
I mean, I did mention while you were out for a second that Abel Sanchez is sort of like a notorious trainer in a way. And I think notorious is a little bit too harsh of a word, but I can't find the better word for it. Like the media, it is around him a lot. He's in the media quite often. You hear Abel Sanchez speak freely quite a bit. And there's a certain way fans feel about Abel Sanchez. He's polarizing in a way. Much more so than John David Jackson. So if your plan is to leave a media toxic situation with John David Jackson because of these rumors, and you're trying to go to a more quiet location where you can just train and dedicate to the art of boxing, I don't know if necessarily Abel's the best for that. But geographically, in terms of credentials of training, Abel Sanchez makes the most sense. Unless Sergey Kovalev wants to move and uproot his life, which is entirely possible.
And I would love the Sanchez aspect. You know, I mean, Sanchez comparing from one aspect, and that being, it would probably help Sergey in terms of popularity, since Triple G, you know, he gets big name videographers in there that kind of remain throughout the camp. And you get those moments that otherwise wouldn't be noticed on camera. And maybe those can help the perception of Sergey Kovalev. You know, he has a bit of a bad guy kind of cloud right now. And maybe more camera time can help that, or it can make it even worse, right?
True. I do think sort of like the good boy, like good guy, persona, character, reputation that Triple G has does or will sort of bleed in with Kovalev's reputation over time. How long that takes, I have no idea, but I think it will help at least. You know, whatever anyone wants to say about Triple G, I mean, he's never really been called a racist. And like that's unfortunately just a fact. You know, whatever, you know, Kovalev's been nice to me. Kovalev's been nice to people that I've seen meet him. But he has that reputation of being a racist right now and being a certain sort of guy and a mean guy. I think you even said mean, maybe. I think that's a very good word to use. Like, people view him in a certain light that is negative. Triple G doesn't have that at all. Even his haters don't view him the way the haters of Kovalev view Kovalev. It's just different.
All right. All right. So I would open up the phone lines, but there is something to discuss, and that is Malignaggi coming out and actually discussing certain details of the sparring. And the perception in the internet galaxy is that Malignaggi was beat up in sparring. And there's photos that can give that perception that he looks beat up. I sent you the audio. I'm sure you listened to a bit of it. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you've already digested other, you know, sources since you have the MMA world. And I've seen that a lot of MMA people did interview Paulie after the sparring. So he got exactly what he wanted from this. He wanted that crossover, and that's what he's getting. Do you think he got beat up?
I don't know. From the looks of it, it definitely looked like a very hard sparring session, to say the least. And in the pictures of McGregor post that day, we really don't see him as seemingly bruised up. Again, Paulie also looked out of shape in that picture. It's very possible we got out of shape, much older, past his prime Paulie, sparring a young, in his prime fighter. And whatever you want to say about McGregor's boxing, at least he's in his prime and in shape. And doing 8 rounds of sparring is what Paulie said. And I'm assuming those are 8 straight rounds of boxing. Yeah, the younger guy with stamina, strength, speed is probably going to fare better over time in sparring. Do I put a lot of stock into it? No, not at all. Paulie, at whatever his age is and whatever shape he is not Mayweather. Is not even close to that. And Paulie, even in his prime, was not necessarily even close to Mayweather, obviously. So I don't put much stock in it, but it is sort of shocking in a way. I don't think any of us really expected Paulie to look bruised up in the way he did.
Now, this guy McGregor is very intelligent. Or his handlers, right, who are running his social media. He is staying very, very active on his social media and updating. And they're being so slick with...
That CJ Watson jersey?
No, the camera angles. Again, the kid with the gold hair, you don't know who he is again. You don't know who he is. I mean, it's a better picture this time, though. Tattoos and everything we see. Winning gear, too. You got the winning gloves. But even the other picture, right? He's got this other picture sparring someone else now. And you don't know who that guy is. You know, white headgear. But you don't know who it is. I wonder if that's Nikita, but I doubt it. I mean, it's just I just like that he continues to update, and these pictures are coming really close to 1 million likes per picture. I mean, you know, the low end for him is like 500,000, bro. I mean, he's doing his numbers for sure. And look, the picture with him and Malignaggi, while to us caused the ruckus, that's the one that got like 596. You know, okay, so. Definitely a market master, this guy. But all the pictures that they are posting, reaching in his punches. Now, it's horrible to, like, try and dissect a fighter based off of one pose, but they do say a picture's worth 1,000 words. And, you know, he's definitely has all his weight on his front foot. And what should be a jab is more like, I don't know, a lunging punch. Is he still accustomed to throwing these Superman punches, Matt?
I don't know if he's throwing Superman punches. McGregor does have a tendency to really reach with this shot, especially that left hand. That's probably just what it is, him reaching, overreaching. which has a tendency to do. But again, I don't put much stock in it because I don't put much stock in him in this fight, right? I mean, there's nothing that a picture is going to say to make you go, oh my God, McGregor's going to beat him. Like, that's never going to happen. Like, what we would have to see from McGregor in training is videos of him knocking out guys like a Danny Garcia. Like, if he did that in sparring, we would be like, okay, maybe. But that's never going to happen. So this is just hype, you know? Like, it's just, it's master promotion right here. Like, he's biting you into it, Ness. He's biting you and sucking you into this fight. He has all the MMA media, and he's slowly getting the boxing media sucked in.
Well, I was already sucked in when he was fighting Floyd. Like, why wouldn't I watch the greatest of my generation?
Well, let's be honest. A lot of the boxing media doesn't really want to talk about this fight.
But the thing is that a lot of the boxing media probably, moonlight in other sports. I only watch boxing. So for me, you know, the more the merrier. Very simple. More the merrier.
True.
Any other final topics before we move on and open up these lines, go to these sponsors? And
I wanted to mention one because we actually mentioned it before the show, and I feel like we should throw it out because it seems like a very entertaining fight. Jose Pedraza versus Mickey Bay in talks for August 22nd in Las Vegas. I like that. I wonder at what weight that is.
Yo, doesn't that suck? Like, wouldn't those guys benefit more from the opening card on the Mayweather McGregor or like whatever, you know, than their own card somewhere in like Sam's Casino in front of maybe 2,000 people?
That's not the same day
as Toe-to-Toes on Toe-to-Toe Tuesday.
Is that the same day as Mayweather? I don't think it is.
No, Mayweather's the 26th. That's what I'm saying. Why are you going to go the 22nd if you got the 26th right there?
Because probably those spots are getting filled up with more marquee fights or at least more marquee names in the Mayweather stable. Yeah. Like, you know, Badger Jack is going to get a spot. You know, maybe like Jay Leon Love is going to get a spot on the undercard.
Dan, that's a subject for overtime. Remind me to talk Jay Leon. Just like Jay Lee on Instagram, that'll remind me because we ain't gonna remember. But overtime, Jay Lee on Instagram.
I got that.
That's a good overtime topic, believe me.
But that's it. Really, no other topics. It was a slow week. But it's been just a slow week. It happens.
Slow week in boxing. Hey, don't forget to follow us on all forms of social media. Stay every time we do a live Patreon show. If you're following us on Instagram, you will be notified, and you'll get that bat signal, man, which is what you need to partake. I want to remind everyone, if they haven't already, head on over to theboxingvoice.com, and you can just head on over to theboxingvoice.com/affiliate sponsors. And if you're doing any Amazon shopping, remember, you can use our affiliate link. Costs you absolutely nothing. You know, there's definitely no boost in your price, but we definitely get a kickback, which helps you support the show that you love, right? I'm going to go out to these sponsors, and then we'll get to the callers and see everyone's opinion on this, on all these topics, right? We have a lot this week.
These calls are brought to you by El Camino Electrical Services, experts in electric vehicle charging stations. For consultations and turnkey installation, visit us at elcaminoservices.com.
Going out to California, we got Donald. What's up, brother?
What's up? Okay, y'all got me first. I was going to say, did you guys say the Adrian Broner is 144 right now, you said?
Yeah, man.
Looking good. I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of leaning towards Adrian Broner. If we get the Adrian Broner that was the Adrian Broner at 140, the can man, and anybody can get it. If we get that Adrian Broner, I'm going to go with him to beat Mikey Garcia. But if we don't get the in-shape Adrian Broner that's doing what he's supposed to do, I would say he can lose a decision by Mikey to them. And another thing that you said, you made me think about it because I thought about this a couple of times. When you were saying something about Sean Porter, if you guys notice on Sean Porter's fights on the weigh-in, Porter might have to move to 154 pretty soon, because if you notice on the weigh-ins, he has to strip butt naked just to make 147. Have you guys noticed that?
I never noticed him have to take off his boxes.
Yeah. Okay. If you look at the weigh-in with Keith Thurman, yeah, he had to strip down to his boxers and they had to come grab something and put it in front of him to where he was. He had to take his boxers and go all the way naked and get on the scale naked to make the 147. I noticed that on the Thurman fight. And also, if you look at the weigh-in on Berto, he had to do the same thing too. He had to strip naked to make 147 on the scale. So, you know, Porter, he's a big dude. And then you said Jose Pedraza is supposed to fight Mickey Bay. If I remember correctly, Jose Pedraza was supposed to fight, I want to say his name is Jermell Hurdy. If I'm saying it right, he was scheduled to fight him.
Jermell
and he
pulled Harry
out of that fight because he was, remember when I had told you that the fight was coming up and I told you Gerald was fighting Jermell? Yeah, when original guys was going to be there, Jose Pedraza was scheduled to fight Jermell Hurdy, but he pulled out from that fight. So, and now you're telling me he's fighting Mickey Bay. I mean, maybe he felt the Jermell fight was going to be a little too much for him coming off of a loss from Tank, you know? I mean, sometimes you got to give yourself a little stepping stone first.
I'll be honest,
what other subject?
I'll be honest. Mm-hmm. I think Mickey Bay might have more pop than Jermell Herring, brother.
Yeah, because Mickey Bay is older and Mickey Bay has more experience. So it might be like the same situation with Pacquiao, like how Pacquiao didn't want to fight Crawford and he didn't want to fight Thurman. And then he figured, oh, you know, let me get this Jeff Horn. This will be an easy fight. And you go around and you lose the cherry pick fight, you know. So you got to be careful about that sometimes. What was the other – let me see if I can touch on one more other subject before my time run out. What was the other subject?
You got Chris Eubank. Well, his dad saying that James DeGale kind of took the easy way out and didn't get into the tournament. And
yeah.
Obviously, Lomachenko.
Oh, yeah. You know what? Yeah, I think Lomachenko waited too long, and I still think Lomachenko won't beat that, win that fight. Yeah, I think that's all my time.
Well, all right, Donald. Thanks for calling in. Still can't wait to hear your thoughts on them fights, man. Let us know when you're ready. Suleiman the Scholar, glad to have you back. You must have been busy. How are you?
Hey, how you doing?
All right.
Yeah, so, you know, even on that subject with Chris Eubank, I think Chris Eubank is the most skilled at the 160 division. Like Matt said, he's the top draw in that division. I think James DeGale, he's probably waiting for the avenue to open up. It could happen. One of those fighters could get injured and not participate. I mean, they got a couple of older fighters like Brahma, one of those guys, and they could fill in the gap. They, you know, come in and join the tournament because DeGale and Chris Eubank probably one of the hottest fighters right now in Europe right now. And I would like to see that fight. I think he could clean that division. He could probably outbox Grove and get that belt, and then after that try to unify with the other champions, and it's going to be hot, that division, when they gave him go at it. You guys saw that fight with Johnny Gonzalez this weekend?
The tune-up where he got a knockout?
Yeah, he got a little knockout. What do you think about him? Is he still a force in that division? What do you think? Maybe you could put him with Bochelt?
I heard him call out Burchell, but I don't even know how Johnny Gonzalez deserves a shot at a title because he had a win over a tune-up.
Well, you guys have a great day, man. Thank you for giving me some time, okay?
As always, Suleiman, we appreciate you around here. Thanks for calling in. Let's go out to our ringer, KM Star. Talk to me.
Hey, sorry, I didn't hit one, but I was actually just listening. Hello, no. Can you hear me?
Yeah, no problem. We'll put you on hold then, or do you want to stay on?
No. Since you got me, I'll go ahead and speak. So I actually caught the show about Wilder Cerverne earlier today, and I know that was one of the topics that was briefly covered about missing a drug test. I wish this guy would just miss the fight, right? Like, is anyone interested in Severn? I know we talked about that. I mean, God, what is this guy? Like, has he been training? Has he been fighting? Is it because he believes he can win? Or is he just facing a payday? If it's the latter, I really don't want to see him in a fight. And I had the most absurd notion when I listened to that show. The only way I'd want to see Wilder fight Severn again is if he fought Severn on his own undercard against that Luis Ortiz guy. Would that be a record, like a Guinness Book of World Record thing, like a heavyweight champ fighting two guys on the same night? Well, that would interest me. But otherwise, I don't want to see Severn. I know, it is that ridiculous. So, I mean, that's all I had for that bit. The Broner Mikey Garcia thing, I mean, the best fight. Like, this has the potential to be the best fight this year that's not talked about, or at least promoted because of all the other big cards this year. I don't even know who to pick. I think everybody feels that way. It all depends on the Broner that shows up. But maybe I shouldn't even say that. I hate to say it, but right now, without knowing anything else, without seeing the weigh-in, I feel like no matter what Broner shows up, I have to get behind Mikey Garcia because he's just so damn consistent, right? So when you have the option between a talented, consistent fighter and a talented but inconsistent fighter, with knowing nothing else, you pretty much have to go with consistency. So this early in the process, I'm going to go get behind Mikey for it. And that's my call.
Cam Starr, thanks for calling in. You know, the problem is, Matt, you can't just say, you know, one is more consistent than the other because Broner is, I want to believe he's stronger. You know, I mean, at least he has the proof. Some people can say, well, Mikey hits just as hard, but there's no proof. At least Broner has hurt and affected 147 pounders, legitimate 147 pounders. Sean Porter, that knockdown in the 12th, that speaks volumes for his power.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Let's get out to some more alumni. Hopefully he's got a good connection. We're going to go out to Australia. And actually, didn't he say he wanted to be part of the next Border Wars? What weight is he? We need a few 160s this time around, right? Isn't he? He might be Matt's weight.
No, he's Fern's.
Oh, yeah? Uh-oh.
But no one can stop me, really.
My God, it's me.
Oh, there's a King Croc right there.
My God, it's me.
This croc has enough power in its jaws to whip my head right off.
Can you get in the sixth round? My God, it's me.
My God, it's me. You're going to be the legend to become a legend.
My God, it's me.
Honestly,
it's
unbeatable.
You're going to
be the legend and become a legend.
Hey, boys, what's going on? Great show, as always. Thanks for putting in the work. Yeah, I did say I'll be part of the next Border Wars, but only if we're going Canada Internationals versus America. We've got to set something up here. You know? I'm open to any possibilities. And I think Matt's right. I'm a bit too big for him, but Matt, if you want, I can always put on a dress, paint my nails, and mix it up with you. You know, two little girls going at it. But look, in regards to the topics today.
How much you weigh?
If I had to take a guess roughly right now, about 165 at the moment.
We can talk later.
But, yeah. All right. Well, look, in regards to the topics today. So can someone just briefly just give me the rundown of the topics? I can just run through.
So Severn has a drug test. Mike Garcia says that he might stay at 140 or go up to 147, depending on what challenges are available. Chris Eubanks Sr. Called out James DeGale for not entering the World Boxing Super Series. Lomachenko says he is ready for Guillermo Rigondeaux. A couple of the topics that were not listed, Jose Pedraza versus Mickey Bay is slated for August. And the David Haye, Richard Schaefer promotion has signed a deal in the UK for a network.
All right. Well, I'll quickly run down my list, my top two topics. So the main, Wilder's always been out there talking about people testing negative and how he did, like, he never wanted to fight Ortiz when Ortiz tested, you know, positive for roids and that. But So I think this is a good way out for Wilder. If he does want to actually face Ortiz, I think it's great because it's a much better fight. No one really wants to see Stiverne anymore. Lomachenko, Rigondeaux, wow, what a fight. If we get that 27th, that's got it. Someone was saying fight of the year, Broner, Garcia, like, no way. If we get Lomachenko, Rigondeaux, I think at least according to the eye test, we've got two of the most skilled fighters on the planet in the ring together. How many gold medals? 12 gold medals in world championships and Olympics and all that kind of stuff. You know, it's an amazing fight, and I 100% will be front row for that, no matter the cost of the ticket, 5,000, 10,000, I don't care. Lifetime fight between two amazing boxers, but that's my call. And hit me up if we're going to talk Bizzo about wars. But thanks, guys.
All right, all right. Well, thanks for calling in, Alex. Let's stay in the UK. Well, go to the UK. Alexander Bully, talk to us.
Mr. Gibbs, hipster, how you guys doing, man?
Doing good.
All right, all right.
Good to hear, good to hear. Yeah, I've got a pretty unique insight on the De Gale and Eubank fight because I was at the press conference for Mayweather-McGregor at the SSE, and then obviously Eubank was fighting the next day and De Gale happened to be there as well. And there was like a little like stare down between the teams after everything was, because Eubank was doing an interview for his next, for the fight tomorrow. And there was a little stare that I'm telling you right now, I looked in that man De Gale's eye, he didn't want it. That man De Gale, he swallowed his gums and said, look, man, let me get up out of here before he beat me up and Abraham in the same night. The most stylish boxer out there. He got that pretty boy Kelly kind of swag, but he's got the whole package where the man could really cross over to the casuals. Right now, in my opinion, it's AJ and then it's him. Like, the way he puts it together for the superstar, he can really appeal to them casuals. So I'm telling you, he will be the star who hopefully clean out Groves in the final of this boxing tournament and then hunt the girl down. But yeah, speaking on the Broner thing as well, I know a lot of people keep saying, yeah, it depends what Broner show up. Does he be in the mountains? He be running, blah, blah, blah. Anybody that was on his Snapchat before this fight was made, know he about to get his ass kicked because all he was doing was in the clubs. It's the same AB. And it's a shame when you see potential go down the drain like that. But he's about to get it from a Mexican.
All right. Well, I mean, he could be on Snapchat, you know, that especially before the fight. I mean, he's in camp now is different. But I get what he's saying, Matt. You know, my favorite sound bites is the saddest thing in the world is wasted talent. So I get him.
Yeah, and it's funny how like Eubank fans think he is the second coming. I still don't think this is the best weight class for that, but Eubank does have that star potential. If he wins the right fights, he could be a star, absolutely. But I don't think he's close to AJ status yet. He's not even close to that.
Yeah, I mean AJ status. That seems very far.
I mean, you can make arguments but, that, like David Haye, Tony Bellew, maybe a Kell Brook, that those guys are bigger names to casuals than a Chris Eubank Jr. That's possible.
Yeah, I think Haye definitely more known. But you know what? Haye's endorsed Eubank a lot. They hang out and shit. They beat in Miami. But let's get out to, speaking of Miami, let's go to Orlando. Majid, what's going on, brother?
Nothing much. I'm just listening to the show right now. Y'all can come back to me. I want to listen to what these people talking about. And then I want to speak.
All right, brother. No problem. Thanks for calling in. We're going to go to Ernest in Alabama.
Hey, guys. Listen, I think I got a remedy for this whole Deontay Stiverne thing. I think Don King probably knew that Stiverne was juicing up, which is why he wanted to take the buyout money. And I think the WBC would be wise to just get Stiverne out the rankings, have Deontay fight Ortiz, then have the WBC number two and number four fight on the undercard. And that winner would be the mandatory for Deontay's mandatory defense after Ortiz. I don't think Stiverne and Deontay are ever going to get in the ring. That's my take, guys.
All right, Ernest. Well, thanks for calling in. Well, definitely if, you know, if this becomes some sort of political, the paper thing where the WBC gets involved for the failed test, Matt, yeah, we'll probably never see the rematch. Not that anybody wants it. I mean, just to echo Ernest's thoughts. Let's get out to New Jersey. I mean, talk to me.
What's going on, fellas?
What up, what up?
Nothing much.
Yo, Stavern been on ice for a minute, and I don't know, you know, where his career is at right now, but I'm not interested in seeing him fight nobody. I think Gore has been kind of falling into, and I can't blame the whole UK for it because I rock with the UK, but the Gale is doing some old school UK nonsense. He's doing some Billy Joe Saunders joint. I know they just came off the fight with Badu Jack, and I can't recall whether or not he had a serious enough injury to be sitting on the shelf holding the belt hostage this long. So for Eubank Sr. to call him out, you know, I think Eubank Jr. would have called him out himself, but I think it's time for him to come up off the belt. Plus, Sr. sees the marketing. I mean, that guy, I ain't going to say he no marketing genius, but that's what he lived for. He lived for trying to market those moments. He thought he'd throw his son name in there with anybody. And I think that's a very interesting fight if they can pull that off. Never mind the tournament, because the Gale got the belt. He's going to try to sit out like Andre Ward did, you know, once upon a time. So that's pretty much it. That's my call, fellas. Good show so far, man. Y'all have a good one.
All right, I mean, well, thanks for calling in. So, Matt.
Yes.
What do you Master think? Dude. What do you think?
Young it's Ollie.
Yeah, man. Once upon a time. Before the embarrassment, once upon a time.
You know? Hashtag Border Wars.
Yo, good they always say the good die young. You know what I'm saying? The good die young.
Good thing you're not young.
Yo, so we're going to hurry up and wrap this one up.
We're going to go back to Majid. I know he wanted to talk after everyone was done.
Yeah, we got to go back to him, but it's just a slow week, you know what I mean? So,
yes, but we are doing TV Overtime.
Yes, we will be doing Overtime. I did some binging yesterday, so we're going to talk about this whole I bet you never heard of it. I think it's called Ozark.
Nope. Is it on Netflix?
Never heard of it. Yes, it is.
I've definitely seen it when I'm
scrolling. Lies. Time to cue the music. Actually, go to Majid. Let's see if he's ready. Majid, you ready?
I'm here. Yeah, I'm ready. Yeah, so I got to agree with everybody with that Bermain Severn shit. I hope the WBC just take him out the rankings because I'm like, I've been waiting to see that Deontay Wilder, Luis Ortiz, and I didn't think he was going to take that fight. And he shut me the fuck up. Now you got Bermain sitting here trying to block it. Nobody wants to see that shit, you know? So I wish nothing bad on nobody's career, but I hope he don't get that fight. I want to see the Luis Ortiz Wilder, you know? And I already spoke about the Broner Garcia thing, but it's going to be what it's going to be. And I don't think that Lomachenko versus Rigondeaux going to happen because even if Lomachenko wants to fight, we all know that Bob Arum fucking hate Rigondeaux, you know? So it's good what he's saying, but at the same time, I'm not, you know, when I see, like, when I hear something in writing and something, I believe it. But other than that, I really don't see fucking Bob Arum putting no money into that man's pocket, you know? So I don't think it's going to happen, you know, but that's all I got. I don't want to see the Severn fight Wilder. No, and I don't think that Lomachenko going to get that shot, even if fucking, you know, he wants the fight because Bob Arum ain't having that shit. But that's all I got.
Well, have a good night, Majid. Been a good show. Been a quick one.
Slow weekend. So, kind of a short show, but if this wasn't enough for you, join us over on Patreon, live overtime, where we kick back, relax, smoke, drink a cool one, talk, shoot the shit. Just talk about a little bit of everything, movies, you know, Netflix series, Hulu's. I mean, just a little bit of everything. You never know what really gets brought up or who calls in. It's always a great time on an episode of TBV Overtime. So join us on that at patreon.com/theboxingvoice. If you're not supporting us on Patreon, be sure to check out all our perks before deciding to join in. A lot of different levels, a lot of different tiers gives you access to a lot of different things. Just another quick reminder, if you're going to be doing any Amazon shopping, head on over to theboxingvoice.com/affiliate sponsors and use our hyperlink. It costs you absolutely nothing. Once you use it once, just keep using it. You save it, you bookmark it, just keep using it, and you will be supporting your favorite podcast without costing you absolutely nothing. It's very simple. You know, those little things like 5-star reviews on iTunes, sharing a show on your Facebook or any other forms of social media, those little things are the things that you can do to ensure that this podcast continues to grow and you continue to get new characters and callers who eventually join Border Wars and Appreciation Nights and become family members. I'm your host, Nesta Gibbs. Find me on Instagram and Twitter at NesGTO.
And I am the co-host and producer, Matt the Hipster Hunter. You can find me at Mixed Combat News on Twitter, Matt Hunter TBV on Instagram. I am Mixed Martial Arts Podcast, Mixed Combat Radios on Patreon, SoundCloud, YouTube, iTunes, etc. Peace. Be back for TBV Overtime any minute now on patreon.com/theboxingvoice. Peace.
Bye. Bye.